Okay, so today we're diving into a Supreme Court case, and this one's a big one. It's Hampton v. Mo Sun Wong from 1976.
Oh, yeah, Hampton. That's a classic.
Yeah, and it gets into some really foundational issues. And we were talking due process, federal employment, and the rights of non-citizens, especially those who are here legally, lawful permanent residents.
It's fascinating how this case really forces you to think about the balance of power, within the government, like who gets to decide what, especially when it comes to people's ability to work and make a living.
Exactly. And the court's decision in Hampton had a huge impact on how we understand both the limits of agency authority and the protections that non-citizens are afforded under the Constitution. So to really set the stage here, the central question is, can the federal government just have a blanket rule that says lawful permanent residents can't hold civil service jobs just because they aren't U.S. citizens?
Yeah, that's the crux of it, right? Like, at first glance, you might think, well, it's the federal government. Don't they have a lot of leeway in deciding who works for them? But Hampton really challenges that assumption.
It totally does. So let's get into the specifics of the case. We're talking about San Francisco in the 70s, and there were these five Chinese individuals, all lawful permanent residents. They applied for federal civil service jobs, and they were totally qualified, met all the requirements, but they were denied employment solely because of their citizenship status.
And this was because of a regulation from the Civil Service Commission, right? They had this rule basically saying that non-citizens couldn't hold these types of federal jobs.
Right. So these individuals, they weren't just going to take this lying down. They filed a lawsuit arguing that this blanket ban violated their right to due process under the Fifth Amendment. That part of the Constitution that says the federal government can't deprive anyone of life, liberty, or property
Right.
without due process of law.
Which is a pretty big deal, right? I mean, the Fifth Amendment applies directly to the federal government. So they're basically saying, hey, this regulation is taking away our ability to work, which affects our liberty and ability to support ourselves, and that's not fair, especially without any real justification.
Exactly. And it's interesting how this case played out in the lower courts, before it got to the Supreme Court. Initially, the district court sided with the government.
Yeah, I think a lot of times those lower courts are more hesitant to overturn these kinds of government policies,
I
right?
think so, yeah. But then the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, they reversed that decision, finding that the Civil Service Commission's ban was unconstitutional. So now you have this split in the circuits, different courts saying different things.
Ah, okay, so that makes sense why it went up to the Supreme Court. They wanted to settle this disagreement and provide a clear answer on this really important constitutional question.
Exactly. So the case goes up to the Supreme Court, and what's the main issue they're grappling with? It's whether this sweeping ban from the Civil Service Commission on non-citizens in federal civil service jobs violates their Fifth Amendment right to due process.
And what did the court say?
Well, they sided with the individuals, right? I mean, it wasn't unanimous, but it was a pretty decisive 6-2 decision.
Right.
And Justice Stevens wrote the majority opinion. And it's so important to understand, they didn't rule that all citizenship requirements for federal jobs were unconstitutional. The court was very specific in saying that they had a problem with this particular ban because it was so broad and far-reaching. It was enacted by the Civil Service Commission, not by Congress.
Right. It's all about who's making the rule and how broad it is. Like, the court seemed to acknowledge that there might be certain very specific jobs where citizenship could be a legitimate requirement, but this was just way too broad.
Yeah, and this gets to the heart of what the court focused on, this idea of agency authority. They made it very clear that the Civil Service Commission, as an administrative agency, had overstepped its bounds. They were basically trying to set national immigration policy through the back door of employment regulations, and that just wasn't their role.
Right, because the Constitution gives Congress the power over immigration and naturalization, and the president obviously plays a role too. But an agency like the Civil Service Commission, that's not their lane. Their job was to manage the federal workforce, not dictate who could be in the country in the first place.
And I love how Justice Stevens phrases this in his opinion. He basically says that the commission was engaging in unauthorized assumptions of power, and that allowing this to stand would essentially mean that agencies could just make rules in areas where they have no special competence and where Congress has not acted.
Ooh, that's a great quote. It really gets to the heart of this idea that administrative agencies have to operate within the boundaries set by Congress. They can't just go off and make sweeping policy decisions that impact people's fundamental rights without a clear legal basis for doing so.
Right, they can't just create laws out of thin air.
Yeah.
So The government did try to justify this blanket ban, right? What were some of the arguments they put forward?
Well, they talked about administrative convenience, which basically boils down to saying it's just easier to only hire citizens. Less paperwork, you know, fewer background checks, maybe.
Oh, okay, I see. Yeah, streamlining things.
Right, but the court wasn't buying that, at least not as a justification for such a sweeping ban. I mean, think about it. If administrative convenience was enough to justify discrimination, where would it end?
Oh, wow. Yeah, you're right. That could apply in so many other areas, not just employment.
Exactly. And the government also brought up concerns about loyalty, you know, suggesting that non-citizens might be less loyal to the U.S.
Which is interesting because these are lawful permanent residents, right? They've already been vetted and allowed to live and work here.
Exactly. And the court pointed this out, saying that these individuals had already gone through a process to demonstrate their commitment to the country. To then say they're all inherently untrustworthy just because they're not citizens felt really arbitrary to the court.
Right. And that's where this whole legitimate basis test comes into play.
Hmm.
The court said, and I'm going to quote here, when the federal government asserts an overriding national interest to justify discrimination, due process requires a legitimate basis for presuming that the rule serves that interest.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not enough for the government to just say there's a national security concern or a need for loyalty. They have to actually show that the discriminatory rule actually addresses that concern in a meaningful way.
Which is a crucial principle, right? It means the government can't just rely on broad generalizations or assumptions about certain groups of people. They have to back up their discriminatory policies with evidence and logic.
Totally. And in Hampton, the Civil Service Commission just didn't meet that standard. Their arguments about convenience and loyalty were too flimsy to justify such a broad and impactful ban. So it's a 6-2 decision, but it wasn't unanimous, right? Let's talk about Justice Rehnquist's dissent, because it offers a very different perspective.
Yeah, Rehnquist really took issue with the majority's approach. He argued that they were essentially creating a new and unsupported interpretation of due process. His stance was that because Congress could have passed a law excluding non-citizens from these jobs, it was totally fine for the Civil Service Commission to do it through a regulation.
So he's essentially saying that because Congress has this broad power over immigration, anything they could do, they could also allow an agency to do.
That's the gist of his argument. He viewed this as more of a political question about who should be allowed to work for the government rather than a constitutional one for the court to get involved in.
Okay, so when Rehnquist says political question, what exactly does he mean by that, especially in this context? Like, why would he say this is something for Congress to decide, not the court?
Well, it's all about the separation of powers, right? He's essentially saying that decisions about the makeup of the federal workforce are policy choices that should be made by the elected branches of government, Congress, and the president, because they're accountable to the voters. And in his view, the court shouldn't be stepping in to second guess those choices unless there's a clear and obvious violation of the Constitution.
So is this idea that the court should be very hesitant to overturn decisions made by the politically accountable branches of government, especially in areas like immigration and national employment?
Exactly. He's advocating for a more hands-off approach, what legal scholars sometimes call judicial restraint.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, there's one more opinion we need to talk about, and it gets to a really interesting wrinkle in this whole issue. Justice Brennan, while agreeing with the majority that the Civil Service Commission's ban was unconstitutional, raised a really thought-provoking point in his concurrence.
Oh, yeah. Brennan's concurrence is fascinating. He basically asks, okay, but what if Congress had passed a law saying that non-citizens can't hold these jobs? Would that be constitutional? And he pointed out that the majority opinion doesn't actually answer that question.
So he's poking at this idea that even though the commission's ban was struck down, a similar ban enacted by Congress might be a different story. Like, Congress might actually have the power to do what the commission couldn't do.
That's precisely what he's suggesting. And it raises a whole other set of constitutional questions, because then you might have to look at the Equal Protection Clause, not just due process.
Right, because remember, we were talking about how the court specifically relied on the Fifth Amendment's Due Process Clause to strike down this ban. But Brennan is basically saying, hey, what if we were talking about a law passed by Congress, not an agency regulation? Then we might have to analyze it under the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment,
yeah,
which is usually applied to the states, but also applies to the federal government through the Fifth Amendment. And that could change the whole legal analysis.
Exactly. And equal protection cases often involve looking at different levels of scrutiny depending on the classification at issue. If the government is discriminating against a suspect class, like based on race or national origin, they have to meet a much higher standard to justify that discrimination.
So Brendan's basically leaving us with this question. Should non-citizens be considered a suspect class when it comes to federal employment? And if they are, then any law from Congress discriminating against them in this area would be subject to much stricter judicial review.
Right. And Hampton leaves that question completely open. So that's something to really think about, especially given the ongoing debates about immigration and the rights of non-citizens.
It definitely is. So let's shift gears a bit and talk about why this case, decided back in 1976, is still so relevant today. There are a few really key takeaways here that have had a lasting impact. First, Hampton establishes a clear limit on the power of federal agencies. They can't just go rogue and create broad discriminatory policies without a clear mandate from Congress or the president. They have to operate within the boundaries of their delegated authority, especially when it comes to fundamental rights.
Right. If we didn't have cases like Hampton, agencies could become almost like mini legislatures, making up rules as they go along, which would be a real problem for individual rights and the balance of power within government.
Totally agree. The second big takeaway is how the court used the Due Process Clause to protect the rights of non-citizens. They specifically chose not to decide whether non-citizens are a suspect class under the Equal Protection Clause, which, you know, as we discussed, would have triggered a different legal analysis.
Yeah, it's almost like they intentionally sidestepped that broader question and focused specifically on the issue of agency overreach in this particular case.
Exactly. And I think it's so important for our listeners, you know, those studying law, to really grasp the difference between due process and equal protection. Due process is all about whether the government's procedures are fair when they're taking action that affects someone's life, liberty, or property.
Mm-hmm.
Equal protection, on the other hand, is about whether the government is treating similarly situated people differently without a good reason.
Right. Those are two distinct concepts, and the court's choice to rely on due process in Hampton has implications for how future cases involving non-citizens might be argued and decided.
Absolutely. And the third big takeaway is this idea that even in areas related to immigration and national security, the government can't just restrict people's rights without a really good reason. They have to show that the restriction is necessary to achieve a specific and important goal, and it can't be overly broad. Remember that legitimate basis test.
Oh, yeah, that's huge. The government can't just invoke some vague national interest and then do whatever it wants. They have to actually show that the rule makes sense and that it's the least restrictive way to achieve that interest.
Exactly. And to really drive home the significance of Hampton, I want to highlight a couple of powerful quotes from the case. Justice Stevens, in the majority opinion, wrote that the federal sovereign, like the states, must govern impartially.
That's a great one. It emphasizes that the federal government is not above the law and that it has to treat everyone fairly, regardless of their citizenship status.
Totally. And this next quote really captures the essence of the legitimate basis test. Stevens writes, "Due process requires a legitimate basis for presuming that a discriminatory rule serves an overriding national interest."
Powerful stuff. It really lays out the standard that the government has to meet when it's trying to justify discrimination. It's not enough to just say, oh, this is important for national security. You have to show the connection, the logic, the evidence.
Exactly. So to sum it all up, Hampton v. Mao Sun Wong is a landmark case because it establishes that constitutional protections, even ones that we often think of as applying to citizens, also extend to non-citizens residing in the U.S. It sets limits on the power of federal agencies. And it emphasizes that even when the government is acting in areas like immigration, it still has to follow the rules, justify its actions, and respect individual rights.
Couldn't have said it better myself. It's a reminder that the Constitution is there to protect everyone, not just certain groups, and that the government can't just do whatever it wants without a good reason.
And on that note, here's a final thought-provoking question for all of you listening. The court in Hampton deliberately avoided answering the question of whether non-citizens should be considered a suspect class when it comes to discrimination by the federal government. So what do you think? What are the potential arguments for and against granting non-citizens that level of protection? Think about the different levels of scrutiny the courts apply in equal protection cases, like rational basis review, intermediate scrutiny, and strict scrutiny. And how might that affect the types of justifications the government would have to provide for any laws or policies that treat non-citizens differently? This is a complex and nuanced issue with huge implications, and it's something that Hampton touched upon but ultimately left unresolved. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into a truly fascinating and important case.
Great discussion. Lots to think about.
Absolutely. See y'all next time.